بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the issues of differentiation as the keystone of leadership development, and looking at the lessons from the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. We come to one of the biggest events, if not the biggest event, which was Fath Makkah. Now, if you see Rasulullah's conduct there is not one but many incidents, key incidents in that Fath, which are symbols and signs of how Rasulullah differentiated himself. The army was camped outside of Makkah. They were going to enter Makkah the following morning. Abu Sufyan and one other person from Makkah, they came out to scout and see what was happening there. And they got caught by one of the patrols of the army. So it was the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that situation, they would have been killed because they were spies. But that did not happen, and they were brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu was there, and he said to Abu Sufyan, "Accept Islam." So Abu Sufyan said, "As far as La ilaha illallah is concerned, I have no problem. But accepting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the messenger of Allah, this I have a problem." Now it's an interesting situation, because here was Abu Sufyan, his life was on the line. I mean, there was no doubt about this. So on the one hand, you can say that he was so cussed and he was so stubborn. But on the other hand, it also shows the man's integrity of character. Even though his life was on the line, he is not willing to say something which is not in his heart. I mean, think about that also. He could have said something. He could say, "Okay, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah," and inside his heart is not there. This issue of nifaq came only in Medina. In Makkah, there was no nifaq. Who was on haq was on haq. Who was on batil. Both were strong in their positions. Nobody pretended to be something else. So Abu Sufyan, even at that time, this is what he said. So Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib got very angry. He said to him, "Now you are on your own." He said, I wash my hands of you. I'm trying to save your life, and you are, you know." Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not the kind of person who would have killed him. So effectively, he was safe in the presence of the Nabi alayhi salam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Okay, you can go back." But he said to Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, "Take him and let him stand on a high spot and see the army which is coming in." The purpose of that was, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, this is the first point of differentiation, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to avoid bloodshed. So his point was, his aim of doing that was to say that, look, once you see that this army is so big, there were 10,000 plus soldiers in the Hejaz among the Arabs. To have these big armies was not their way. They would have small skirmishes, small groups of soldiers who would go and raid and so on. But these battle campaigns, Makkah was not a campaign in the Roman campaign sense. That the Muslims did much later, in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and even in time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When Khalid bin Walid became the commander-in-chief, then they did what were military campaigns. But before that, there was no... So seeing an army of 10,000 soldiers was completely unprecedented for them. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted them to see, so that they would then realize that fighting would be futile, it would be just a waste of life, so that there would be no bloodshed. And that's what happened eventually. So he said, "Take them on top. Let them see." So as they were standing there on top, one of the battalions, because the not battalion, one of the columns of soldiers, there were different commanders for each of these columns. One of them was from Medina, they were the Ansar, and they were commanded, if I am not mistaken, by Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu. So Sa'd bin Ubadah saw Abu Sufyan. These were people, I mean, Abu Sufyan was the sworn enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So obviously there was not much love lost between them. So Sa'd bin Ubadah saw Abu Sufyan and he raised a call. And he said, Al-Yawm Yawma Malhama. Al-Yawm Yawma Malhama. He said, today is the day of slaughter. Now somebody, so Abu Sufyan said, look, what is this, you know. So he said to Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, so somebody brought this news to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what they are, the Ansar, they are making, you know, raising this slogan, that today is the day of slaughter. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, tell them, Al-Yawmu Yawmul Marhama. Today is the day of mercy. From Malhama, he turned it to Marhama, to day of mercy. And then he did again another very unprecedented thing. He took away the command from Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu. Now imagine in the middle of a battle, or about when the battle is about to begin, you are removing the commander. First of all, it shows the kind of authority you have. Secondly, it also shows your willingness to take a hard decision. It's not easy. I mean, you have authority, you may even know that, you might believe that, but are you willing to put it on the line in such a way? Because the Arabs fought for their leaders. Right? So if they were fighting for Sa'd bin Ubadah, they were fighting for him. You remove him, there was a danger of mutiny from that entire band of soldiers. But he took that hard decision because he didn't want any bloodshed to happen. But see the hikmat of that. What did he do? He took the flag from Sa'd bin Ubadah and gave it to his son. So like taking it from Hyderabad and giving it to Omar. So now point is that, okay, your flag is taken from me, but it's in my son's hand, so this is like with me only. You know, so it is not, the idea was not to insult the commander. But at the same time, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to give a very strong message to say, there is going to be no bloodshed today. And none of this, you know, feeling of that victory and, you know, we are victors and so on and so on, none of that. Which is, again, completely and totally unprecedented, not only for the Arabs, but for the time. And may Allah have mercy, till today that is the situation. No victorious army behaves like the way the victorious army of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam behaved when they entered Makkah. No army behaved like that before that, no army behaved like that after that. This behavior of the army of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when they entered Makkah is completely and totally unprecedented. But as they say, to prove a point, one incident is enough. It can be done. So you cannot say that, no, it can't be done, because here is the proof. It was done. If it was done one time, it can be done any number of times. Something which cannot be done can never be done. This is the differentiation. So it's I don't want to hurry through this. Inshallah, we have other incidents of that. Inshallah, we'll come to that. But I'm saying today, just think about this and say that given that situation, you have been persecuted by these people, not just 13 years in Makkah, but they did not even leave you alone when you went to Medina. There was Badr, there was Uhud, there was Khandaq. Yeah. Almost every year there was a battle. Right? And then Sulh Hudaybiyah, when you go for that, they make you sign a humiliating treaty, then they go and break the treaty. I mean, that's how the Fatah Makkah whole thing started, because they broke the treaty. So here is a bunch of people who are hell-bent on somehow destroying you, somehow humiliating you, and for what? You know, if you have done something, you can say, okay, you know, I did this, I'm getting it back. Nothing. You did nothing to deserve it, yet all of this is happening again and again and again and again. And now the boot is on the other foot. Now you have control, you have authority, you have the army with you. You can quite literally do whatever you want. You know, both in a worldly sense as well as from Binallahi Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given the authority. What would you do? What would I do? And what did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? That is the issue. The issue is to say that this is what he did. The whole purpose of an example is to take the example and implement it and follow it. Many times what we do is when we are given an example, we say, yeah, but you know, that is one. Now this is shaitan. This is pure shaitan because, as I said, doing something one time is proof. Even if it happened only once, it is proof that it can be done. With the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is not once. It happened again and again and again. I am saying even if it was one time, it is proof that this is doable. Then we don't have an excuse to say it is not possible. If it is something is not possible, then it is not possible. You know, there is no one can do that. Supposing I say, well, see that car standing, the Toyota Corolla standing there, go lift it up. It's not possible. I mean, how can you do that? No, nobody can do that, right? But supposing I go and lift it up. Now you can't say it is not possible because I just showed you, I am a human being like you and I picked up this car. So you can't say, well, you know, it can't be. Oh, here is a man who did it. So here is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are not talking about some magical powers or something. We are talking about a person controlling himself. What is this whole thing boils down to? What? Anger management. Controlling yourself. Nobody in the world can say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not feel angry. Nobody can say he was not, he didn't feel hurt or he didn't feel sad or he didn't feel, he was a human being. He felt all of these things. Issue is not whether you feel it. Issue is how do you express it. You can feel angry. Not to feel angry when there is a justified reason to feel angry is a sign of lack of intelligence, because that means you don't even understand what's going on. You should feel angry. Why should you not feel angry? Either you are not concerned, you don't care, or you don't have the brains to understand what is going on. So definitely, when there is a reason to feel angry, one should feel angry. The point is, then what do you do? Do you express this anger in a way which actually causes more trouble now than there was before? You express the anger in a way which is negative, which is destructive, or do you control this anger and then you do and you take steps which you need to take in order to make the situation better? Anger is one of the best motivational forces, because anger will wake you up, anger will make you do things, it will give you energy and all that, provided you control it. Otherwise, the same anger causes all kinds of havoc. And the end of that anger is, you have to apologize now to the people who should have apologized to you. Before the problem began, you were justified, those people were guilty, but because you allowed your anger to get out of control, now you are guilty and those people are justified. Instead of them apologizing to you, now you have to go and fall at their feet. We bring this on ourselves. Now this is the lesson from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to say, how do I control all these so-called negative emotions? Emotion is value neutral. Emotion is neither negative nor positive. It is how it is expressed which makes an emotion negative or positive. Usually people say anger is negative, love is positive. Express love in an inappropriate manner, you see what happens. So it's not a question of positive. Issue is, how do you express that? The expression of the emotion makes it negative or positive. The emotion by itself is emotion. And that is the lesson that we need to take from this, to say, how do I control my anger? How do I control the so-called negative emotions? I don't, as I said, it's not negative or positive, but these things which happen. How do I control my emotion? And then I take action which must result in goodness. That is the condition. Whatever action I take, no matter what I am feeling, the action I take, meaning what I say, what I do, must result in positive things, must result in something good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom and the hikmah to learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to implement that in our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.